In the name of Jesus, amen. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So writes Isaiah. God's word does not return to him empty. God's word does what it does, and it succeeds and it prospers, even though it may not look that way to us. God is the one who gives the growth. And God calls and gathers us by his word that we might have life, and with that life have light and encouragement. May the Lord bless the speaking and hearing of his word this morning. Jesus was talking to a large group of people, and the Bible tells us he was speaking to them in parables. A parable is a story, but it's a little bit more than that. It's a story that it draws you in, and it kind of gets stuck in your head, and sometimes it doesn't always make sense. And we have one of those parables today. Matthew chapter 13 is a collection of our Lord's parables, and we're going to be hearing from Matthew 13 today and for the next several weekends. Starts off with the parable of the sower. A sower goes out to sow, and he scatters the seed everywhere. He scatters it on the path, on the shallow ground, among the weeds, and on the good soil. No person would ever do that. Seed is too precious. They didn't sow seeds like that in Jesus' day. We don't sow seeds like that today. Seed is just too precious. So right away, there's something kind of odd about this parable. It has an odd beginning. No person would ever sow seed like that, but God does. And you got to get this straight right from the beginning. God is the sower of the seed. God is the subject of this parable. It's about his kingdom. It's about how his kingdom is revealed. And what he sows is his word. Or you could even say, Jesus. You get that goofed up and everything else is goofed up. But this parable is about the kingdom of God. Jesus is the seed. God is the sower. Three-fourths of what is sown does not make it to harvest. Some is eaten by birds. Some falls on shallow ground. Some falls among the weeds. Three-fourths of what is sown does not make it to harvest. Nothing wrong with the seed. It's good seed, but there are things that get in the way. For example, Jesus said, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path." We've all experienced that. You hear God's word and, yeah, you just don't get it. Just goes right by you. Don't get it. Don't understand it. Okay. Just doesn't make sense to me. Jesus says, wherever God's word is being proclaimed, there Satan is right there trying to snatch that word away from us. And Satan does that. And we don't understand it. Now that makes it sound like Satan is powerful and the word of God is not powerful. But think about the imagery Jesus uses. What does he say snatches away the seed? It's birds. Now, when birds snatch away seeds, they just end up moving the seeds to other places. I won't get into any more graphic description than that, but you get what I'm talking about. And so, it's kind of interesting. Whenever the devil is trying to stamp out God's word, he just kind of ends up spreading it. Just like the birds, when they eat the seeds, spread that seed. Second thing that happens to the seed. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of that word, immediately he falls away. We've all had that experience as well. We hear God's word, something clicks, and we're like, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to discipline myself, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to start reading my Bible more, and yes, things are going to change. I'm going to be better at following Jesus. And then we leave church. And yeah, it's good to be enthusiastic, but then things distract us. Maybe you've had that experience where you're driving home from church with other people in your car, and yeah, you get into an argument. You were just in church, and now you're in an argument on the way home. It happens. It happens. Or you're sitting around at the restaurant after church, or it's your Sunday noon dinner, and you're gossiping about people. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. You know better. You were just in church that day. We all have good intentions, but then other things come up and they distract us, and before you know it, what we had originally thought about is just, it falls away. As the saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But God keeps sowing the seed. There's a third situation, the thorns. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. We've experienced all that as well. The cares of the world, the worries of day-to-day life, get in the way of our focusing on Jesus. And then there's the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible's really clear about that. You know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And the Bible warns about that. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And yet, we still want more money. It's really, really twisted. Even as Christians, we still want to have more. So there you have the three ways that the seed is unproductive, that the Word of God does not bear fruit. It gets snatched away, it doesn't take root, it gets choked out. But then we get to the good soil. Now, if we've gotten off track any other place before we get to the end, that we've lost our focus, we're like, oh, what's wrong with the seed? It's not the seed, just things happen to the seed. But we need to remember this is about God and about how He will have a harvest. It's not about trying to analyze what kind of soil you are. It's about the promise and hope that there is good soil. And so Jesus says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit, and it yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And you've experienced this too, or you wouldn't be here this morning. The word falls on good soil, and the word of God does what it does. The sower sows the seed recklessly all over the place, and it's preached, whether people like it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether they follow it or not. And that divine sower casts the word of Jesus so that the world, and that the people in the world, that you would know that in Jesus, sins are forgiven. Sins are forgiven for when you've let that word be snatched away from you, when you've been distracted by other things, when you've let that word be choked out. The word comes to you to remind you that there's forgiveness for you for that in Jesus. In Jesus, there is now no condemnation. In Jesus, there is peace and hope. And that word has been at work from the beginning of time and is at work even now. And it will continue to work. Every time you hear God's word, every time you come to church, every time you come to the communion rail and receive His body and blood, you're giving the Lord another opportunity to sow that seed into good soil. So the more opportunities He has, the more we can be assured and certain that He is working as we give Him those opportunities to let that seed take root in us. And so we hear the Word of God. We worship Him. We open up ourselves to the voice of God, and we pray for His Holy Spirit. And the promise is that there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest, because the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. And His Word never returns empty, but always accomplishes His purpose, which is the saving of your soul. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.